you see what's happening.
Yes, yes.
And that makes an awful lot of sense.
And another thing that I would like to add is that since I am a little bit, I don't want to call it eclectic because that's not what I intend to say, but I can walk into different worlds, musically speaking. Mm. And so therefore, pieces that might be grouped together in that world might depict a certain tendency that others might not have.
Yeah.
You see?
And that's what a lot of music, I think, is today anyway by composers.
Mm-hmm.
And this various styles, you know. You go even from not only one composer to another, but from within a composer.
Yes.
You see these changes and things within. Well, let's go now to a orchestral composition from a bridge compact disc totally devoted to your music. This is a piece titled Horizons, which is a rather, well, I'm not going to say the C word, the complex word. Okay, we were talking about complex, describing a piece like that. And you had a very interesting take on it, and I do too. I mean, if we say that, people are going to think, oh my gosh, what is this going to be before we hear it?
Well, in Horizons, it's an interesting phenomenon in me because I was exploring multitudes of speeds at the same time, simultaneous different speeds in sonic production. And which is something that I'm still very interested in. And it's like if you go down in the sea, you have different currents, and you have to be very careful because, I mean, one might take you don't know where. Yeah. And same thing, if you are in the air, the same thing. You might have different bands of winds going in different directions at different speeds. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I have been a little bit preoccupied in sound, how to... not to know that is possible, but how to do it, how to write it. So that piece, you know, Horizons have some of that ingredients in its
And this is a pretty
body.
Recent, what, 1999, I think it is?
That piece was actually premiered 1999, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear it now.
Yes.
We can hear it right now.
Okay.
This is Horizons. By my guest, Tanya Leon, in our performance, we hear the NDR Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Peter Ruzicka, a Bridge Records compact disc.
Thank you.
So what are we going to hear now?
Well,
Marvin?
We just heard. I was running upstairs.
So you're talking about
and I think I got my breath back. Horizons by my guest, Tanya Leon, as performed by the NDR Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Peter Ruzicka, a Bridge Records compact disc. And I'm feeling great. Tanya, welcome back. Let's go now to a very recent activity of yours. Last month, you were artistic director of the Composers Now Festival in New York. Tell us a bit about this recent festival.
Well, this is an idea that I have harbored for years. And finally, it set foot at Symphony Space, thanks to the willingness of artistic director Laura Kaminsky and the president of Symphony Space, Cynthia Elliott, that embraced the idea and said, okay, so why not to start the festival right here? And So therefore, I mean, Laura and I, we have been working very, very closely and sort of like co-created this big shaban. And that starts with the music of now, a marathon that happens then for an entire day at Symphony Space. And then sort of like the opening, that's the opening gesture of the festival. In that marathon, there is all kind of composers. And the thing is that this is the thrust of the festival. It embraces the word composer and honors and celebrates our composers regardless of the kind of music that they write. Oh. So therefore, there's a lot of organizations that have embraced this initiative. They want to be part of it. And those organizations range from the Opera Project, American Opera Project in Brooklyn, to Jazz Mobile, to The Kitchen, The Roulette. The thing is that one of the things that I would like to address is that each organization, they sort of like present and honor the composer that they want to honor. And in this case, for example, Harlem Stage presented a composer that writes hip-hop.
Ah.
And the thing is that, you know, our audiences don't have a deep understanding of the word composer. So that's the main thing. The main thrust is the existence of a composer, and that composer is creating a music that serves a community of audiences. I mean, there is always an audience for any kind of music. So therefore, in that respect, so all of the composers feel honored equally, and all of these organizations present the kind of music or the kind of composer that addresses the kind of music that they would like to present. So it's very, very open for inclusion.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I mean, actually, Asia Society presented as well. And there was a Korean composer that was presented at the Flushing Town Hall in Flushing.
In Flushing.
You see, so, I mean, it was all over the city.
It was all over the city, and all everything went, basically.
Exactly.
Everyone who writes.
Exactly, exactly. And not only that, it's the first time also that in the festival, the conservatories wanted to have also a presence. So there were concerts at, that were presented at Juilliard, for example. And the concert at Juilliard, I mean, it's interesting because the concert at Juilliard was devoted to the composers that write jazz. Student
not
composer.
What you would have had, not
exactly.
What you would have expected.
Exactly. And so we had Juilliard, we had Manes, we had Columbia, we have CUNY. And then the two campuses of CUNY were Brooklyn College and also the Graduate Center. And we had Manhattan School of Music. I mean, it was really, really something because then it also represented the emerging, the young, and the...
A real sense of community.
Exactly. It's the community of creators of music, composers all over the world. I mean, of the world of music, actually. And being addressed and honored by their communities of listeners. And it was wonderful to hear some reports of people that came to different different concerts that normally they would not go. And the report of the people that presented concerts and the people that were there said, we came because this is Composers Now Festival. And you were listed, so therefore we came to your concert. I mean, it was, it's a real very good situation.
Yeah, the variety and the everybody. It was like community.
Community.
Know,
and not only that, you know now that, I think that is in April, that we have Poetry Month, and people are very aware of poets, to the point that there's something called, a poem in your pocket or something
right,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wish at some point we would have a tune in our pocket, you know, where
now
there is
Is this festival going to be an annual thing?
It's annual. Okay. It actually began with a week, and now it has expanded to a month.
Who knows?
It might.
Even more.
Who knows? I mean, or who knows if it would expand to a national location, the same way that the Poetry Month is national now.
That's, of course, a wonderful endeavor, and it gets, many composers are writing in all different genres and their music doesn't get heard.
Yes.
And this is where the ultimate is, to, of course, to have your people hear your music. So this gives that wonderful opportunity.
Yes.
That's great. Oh, great. Now we're going to go to another, to something major. In fact, several months ago, the piece that we started communicating about was because of my presentation of this, the piece we're going to hear now, Inura, which was a composition for voices, strings, and percussion. Now, the percussion, the work includes five percussionists, a choir, an instrumental ensemble. What is interesting, though, is that only one performer has a background in performing notated music of the percussionists.
Yes.
Tell us about that and about the work itself. We'll hear the first, I guess, four
right.
sections of it.
This is a work, I mean, it's a ballet. I haven't written ballet in such a long time. That's how I began, writing ballets. And this is actually a 180 degrees type of full cycle, you know, for me. And I was approached by a commission person that, you know, Brandon Fratt is his name, that actually have commissioned many, many works out of living composers nowadays. And he approached me about writing a ballet again. He said, would you write a ballet again? I said, of course. So the thing is that I end up, I found myself in Salvador do Bahia in Brazil, mm-hmm. Meeting the dancers and, you know, the choreographer was there, and also meeting the potential of the percussionist that could be part of the piece. So these percussionists, we got together, they played for me. We went actually hunting for different instruments. They introduced me to instruments I have not heard. And that's how I make the selection of the instruments that would be part of the production. Then I realized that the percussionists didn't read music. However, the nature of their playing and the sounds that they were eliciting are very unique. In the way that they touch those instruments. And I was posed with the situation that if I would use them, how to incorporate them into the piece, make them feel, you know, at the top of their game, and on top of that, be able to have the trained musicians from the conservatory with these non-trained and spectacular musicians collaborate and make a unified piece, right? And so what I did is that I created these rhythms, and I entered the rhythms into a program, Sibelius program. Then each of them were separate. I mean, it's like when you write, you know, violin one, violin two, you know.
Yeah,
so I had exactly.
Yeah.
The independent parts, I was able to tape them and send them back to them. So in that way, they will have to learn their own only portion of the puzzle.
Oh.
And then when I got them together that came to New York, then I would put them together. Don't ask me about the first rehearsal, because everybody
Now I'm going to, you see, if you didn't say it. It's kind of like we were talking before about complex. Don't mention it now, because now.
The first rehearsal was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So in other words, putting that together was very, very interesting.
That was,
it was amazing. And not only that, but there is also the participation of the fifth percussionist, Eric Charleston, which plays with the New York Philharmonic and also is very versatile in terms of the different styles that he plays. So all his music was written, you see. Of course, the music for these percussionists is written, however, they cannot read it. Yet, they have memorized it. And we performed this live, and then we went and we actually recorded the whole thing, and it was absolutely spectacular.
When was this done? 2000?
2 years ago.
Yeah,
yes.
It was first
yes.
recent.
Well,
we're going to hear Inura, four sections of this, the opening four, the power, the sharing, teaching, and finally understanding. In our performance, we hear Son Sonora voices, an ensemble, and Dance Brazil percussion. The conductor of the entire production is my guest and composer, Tanya Leon, and this is from a recent Albany Records compact disc.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. were just listening to the first four sections of Inura by my guest Tanya Leon. We began with the power that was followed by the sharing, teaching, and finally understanding. You heard Son Sonora Voices, Son Sonora Ensemble, and Dance Brazil Percussion. My guest, Tanya Leon, was the conductor, and that was from a recent Albany Records compact disc. I am here with Tanya Leon, and she will be with me for about another 19 minutes. And we have just a couple more little ditties we want to talk about. First of all, one thing I find interesting is to ask my guests what types of interests they have outside of music. Music is not related to this. Outside of music.
Well,
and go ahead. So take over.
Outside of music, philosophy, psychology, a lot of nature, plants.
Sounds good.
And animals.
Do you have animals at home?
Oh, I had one that I lost almost a year ago, and I haven't gotten myself together out of that yet.
It was
a little dog. Her name was Shanti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's mm-hmm. wonderful, and I think people who have pets understand.
Yes.
But people who never did, I sometimes don't.
Oh, yeah, it's like a member of the family.
They are members of the family.
They
no
are,
question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No question. Well, we're going to go now to a little bit from your opera. Mm-hmm. You brought a recording, and we're not going to do that, though. You see, I'm going to put people on a hold, just like when you call up the phone. Before we get to that, though, share with us some of the exciting musical activities coming up for you.
Yes, next month, the 21st, I am going to have a premiere of a piece called Going Gone. And it's part of a project that is supported, in a way, by Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
And foundations that actually have come up with the money for the different composers. And a series of an immense amount of composers, about 30 or something like that, mm-hmm. have been commissioned to write pieces for Anthony DeMare. Anthony is a wonderful pianist
mm-hmm.
that played a lot of contemporary music. Yes. And then Anthony is going to be premiering these pieces. All the pieces are written for him. Based on one of the songs of Stephen Sondheim. Mm. And the one that I selected is a song entitled We Had a Good Thing Going.
So that's very exciting.
So that's exciting. And the premiere is going to happen at Symphony Space. And then I have another premiere of a piece I'm working with. The piece is going to be called, or is called already, Linajes. And it's for the Monarch's Brass Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be happening in Kalamazoo in June. Mm-hmm. And I'm also involved with the John Duffy Institute at the Virginia Festival. And I am conducting the Guanajuato. The Guanajuato Symphony in Mexico, and that concert will be on the 25th of May, and that concert opens with a piece of mine called Akana.
Well, you're very, very busy. Now, let me ask you before we sign off and talk a little briefly about the opera, do you have a regular writing schedule every day, or do you write in the evening, do you write in the morning, or whenever you have time?
Well, I wish I would have.
Or coming down
I
in
could
the car
afford
from,
the
here,
fact,
from New York.
Yes, I wish I could afford the fact that other people may have to have a selected amount of hours a day just for writing.
Sure.
You see, but with the schedule that some of us have, trying to feel,
be consistent.
Not only consistent, but we teach, we produce, we might organize other things, and we might actually have to do presentations lectures,
sure.
A lot of traveling in and outside of the country. So therefore, the writing, it's is something that you have to fit in no matter what.
Yeah,
and you end up riding in planes. You end up riding in a car.
You like you did coming down here today. How did that work out?
Well,
did you accomplish?
Well, can I tell you? Maybe who knows, some thoughts, organizing some thoughts and things like that. But the thing is that, and I enjoy though riding in the middle of the night.
I've heard that from many composers.
Yes, it's something about the mystery of the night is very becoming to me, and everybody's sleeping, everything is quiet, and
very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Great.
Yes.
Well, I would like you to know that you can visit my website if you want more detailed information about any of the selections played today on Classical Discoveries or the Avant-Garde Edition. The address of my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist for both of my programs today will be posted by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Also, I want to remind you that both my programs, Classical Discoveries and the Avant-Garde Edition, can now be listened to on your computer at any time and at your convenience for 2 weeks after the MP3 files are posted on my website. Again, my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Next week, our month-long celebration of music of women composers continues. I will be on the air from 5:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. and will be joined from 9:30 until noon by another very special guest, English composer Roxana Panufnik. She will be here live, and she is here from England because of performances of her music in Philadelphia. The timing just worked splendidly. So she will be my live guest next week on Classical Discoveries between 9:30 and noon. And today we've been honored with Tanya Leon, who is still sitting right next to me here at WPRB. It's been a delight having you, but we're not finished yet. Your job isn't done. I'm not excusing you yet because you got to tell us a little bit about the opera
mm-hmm.
that we're going to sign off with.
This is an opera that I had the honor, in a way, to work with Wole Soyinka, which is the first Nobel Prize mm-hmm. In Africa. And Wole gave me these material that originally was written for a radio play for BBC,
mm-hmm.
and it was a fascinating material because it has to do with one of the things that are happening in the world all the time, you know, people that actually are executed innocently because, I mean, they were not the perpetrators or wrongly accused specifically. When we're talking about political situations all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what the piece is about, and a piece that actually springs from something that happened, really. I mean, it's a story of a friend of yeah. his that was executed, right. you know, I mean, when everybody knew that this person didn't have anything to do with the premises of the execution. So, and I did this piece, and it was actually one of those things also. Tanya wrote an opera at the request of Hans Werner Henze, which actually became sort of like a mentor because he actually guided me on how to write a libretto and gave me sort of like the first lessons of what to worry about when putting an opera together and where the peak, where is the climax, where, you know, what are the tensions. And so, therefore, this is, that's that. And one of the things that the opera actually is constantly advocating is faith, and it has to do with the mother of the person that is executed. Tiatin is the name of the mother, Miguel is the son, and Tiatin was always praying to one of the deities that, this is something that is coincidentally is one of the prayers or one of the deities that my family used to pray with for while I was growing up in Cuba.
Well, we're going to hear selections from this work now. And Tanya, Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you, Marvin.
It was fun.
Thank you.
It was fun. And I'll be back next week on Wednesday morning at 5:30. Do take care. Have a great week. Thank you.
The reason.